Hey girl, hey, what's up? This is episode 7 of Future Kino. Today we're talking to the lead actor and the director of Aquí no ha pasado nada, which has been translated as Much Ado About Nothing. And it's a film about a young man in the wealthy classes of Chile who runs someone over, or does he, in a drunk driving case, and then somehow escapes jail. And it's that story is one that has been in at least 3, 4, 5 South American films. This whole thing of the wealthy classes twisting the law and having great power and influence, and how parents can kind of help their kids escape things. This is based on a real life case. Much like Nunca Vas a Estar Solo, You'll Never Be Alone, which is also a Chilean film we interviewed with the director of that film in episode 1. So today I spoke to Alejandro Fernandez Almendras, who is no rookie at film festivals. This film, I think it's his third film, maybe his fourth. I should know this, but I don't. And it's a really strong film. It reminded me a lot of The Beach, as in that 90s film. And it generally reminded me of kind of 90s filmmaking. And then we also spoke to Agustin Silva, who plays the lead role of Vicente. And he is just a bright spark of a human. Really engaging and really funny. And this is his first time in Europe. And it's just pretty refreshing to speak to someone who's this excited to be at the festival and also to be in Europe. Enjoy.
They give you exercise to kind of like get you more sensitive, so you can recreate emotion from your past.
Okay.
You know, from your past story. They give you kind of like, yeah, like tools to like recreate emotions from the past that have like really emotional, like a huge emotional weight to mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And then you can put that in the scene instead of like trying to use your own imagination in the scene. Which is really hard. I mean, like, it was...
It's really... Yeah, I have a friend who's at the Oxford School of Drama, which is quite a big one in England, and they're really keen on that technique.
Really keen? What does that mean? Like, really against it?
No. Really,
oh, really
for
right.
Yeah. Like, they really make people, like, sob and cry in their first year and stuff, and I'm really cynical, so I just think that's like therapy, not acting. And also,
yeah.
I think it encourages actors to be too expressive and too emotional. And
right.
Actually, it's like...
I mean, it's weird because that's what I'm against as well. Like, it's a design. It's an acting design. And if you study that, you're going to be acting the same way as other people. Like, you know,
yeah.
You won't have your own label.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's weird. You know, like, I think the best acting school you can ever have is, like, go... work under construction or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
for
just,
sure, like live.
Exactly. Just like, yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird. I know what they mean with it.
Sure.
But I just couldn't engage with it. I was like too self-conscious of, you know. Just like, I think it's made for certain people.
Yeah, maybe. But it's also very it's like, I think that technique is very self-centered. It's like meant to be cathartic and somehow
right.
enjoyable or takes you on a, you know, a deeper journey into the
yeah.
character. But really, it's a film script. There's a line. You've got, what, like 3 to 5 to 10 takes of that line or those bits.
Right.
It's tiny. It's really short. And you
right.
need to be able to turn off. Like, turn on when the camera's on, turn off when the camera's off.
Right.
I mean, so you can literally just communicate.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, like, if you're going to stay in the character, just, like, keep it to yourself. You're an actor, man. You're, like, part of a team that's working for the movie, not... You're not the only man. So that's why, yeah. I'm really annoyed by that, by actors. Like, they're the center of the movie. It's like, man, you are worth value the same as the PA. Like,
mm-hmm.
relax.
Uh-huh, totally. That's what
you
I was
know,
saying
it's
earlier.
It's a team.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's when you see good acting, is you can just see which actors... You can just imagine which actors and actresses, like, spoke to the catering crew every day and, like, properly spoke to them. You can sort
right.
of see, like,
those things.
So,
I totally agree with you.
Have you ever been here before?
No, this is my first time in Europe, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How are you? I mean,
it's a great image. Like, I have a great image of it so far. This is my first time in Europe, yeah.
But so far, you've kind of seen the very polished, like, this is, I can't think of the equivalent in Santiago, but this is like the very
modern-ish,
new bit. It doesn't feel much like Berlin, Potsdamer Platz.
Right.
It's like capitalism, like slapped this.
Yeah, I bet. But at the same time, I get the glimpse of like what the city might be like in the other side.
I mean, I
don't remember the neighborhood I'm in, but I'm in Panierstrasse.
Oh yeah, did you go and eat there or something, or did you go?
Oh no, I'm staying there.
Okay.
Yeah, like in a house, you know, like in an Airbnb.
Oh nice. Yeah. Oh right.
So I mean, at least that area, it's like amazing.
Okay, so you're having a way more authentic experience than like most people who come to the Berlinale and stay in these conference hotels.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I wouldn't stay in a hotel.
Oh, yeah?
No.
And when are you off?
I'm off, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes. I could have stayed more days, but
yeah.
I'm visiting my sister. So.
Okay, nice. Talking of family, you come from a real film family, right? Your brother is a director.
Yes.
So, have you worked together?
With my brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, that's
I've been, like, in 5 out of his 9th movies or so. I've worked a lot with him. His second movie was my first time when I was 14 years old in The Maid.
Yes, fantastic. Okay, so what makes a good director? I mean, what's the difference between working with your brother and Alejandro?
It was such a different approach. They're both really grounded, down-to-earth people. Like, they know exactly what they want. And that's really important for a director. That, I would say, like, it's one of the most important things, you know, to be clear about what you want.
For sure.
Otherwise, like, if you don't know what to decide in the moment of the shooting, that's kind of, like, what makes the project bad. So I think that's what they kind of, like, share. But in rhythm, they're really different. Like, my brother is, like, really anxious and nervous. I am, like, he jokes about it all. He's, like, the funniest guy on earth. And Alejandro, too, I don't want to, like, uncredit Alejandro in any way.
Sense of humor.
But, like, you know, it's... In this project, it was kind of, like, more serious in a way that, you know, the image and the debate he wanted to make, it was another thing, you know, compared to my brother's movies. So, like, the approach was different, but Alejandro's, like, really down-to-earth, really precise on his directions. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't, like, give you theory about the scene. He's just, like, don't move your eyebrows so much. It's, like, really precise. And
well, your character is kind of this privileged, numb guy.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's not much room for eyebrow movement in this role. But
you're right.
But I lived in Argentina for a year and was kind of surrounded by characters who were not dissimilar from yours, from Vicente.
You know, like in Las Condes, a neighborhood that it's related, mm-hmm. there are like 4 neighborhoods that in Santiago that, you know, like the powerful people live in, you know, like the basic primary high school that are really common, you know, in the high class society. And so I like really know these people. This is the kind of activity they have during high school where, you know, they don't find themselves, they don't know what to study, and if they study commercial engineering, it's a career they hate, and they, you know, they wish for Friday and Saturday to get wasted against that. It's just that kind of dynamic between their vocation and their recreation time, you know?
Well, I only know this case in Argentina, but I guess it's pretty similar. But it's like these kids are doing these jobs kind of just, I mean, there's no real reason, like financially they don't need to do the job. They're not paid equivalently to the standard of living they expect. So yeah, no wonder they go and get kind of fucked up and then run people over. And I don't know if you've seen the film La Mujer Sin Cabeza.
No, I've heard about it. Yeah, but I know it's kind of like The Simpsons.
It's a similar, yeah, very similar subject.
Is it based on a real case as well?
I think inspired by, but definitely not based on, not in the same way as this film. So it seems like impunity is a massive theme in filmmaking Chilean filmmaking in particular. There was a film in the festival called Nunca Vas a Estar Sola. I don't know if you heard about that one.
Yes.
Kind of, the film isn't about impunity, but that's a massive part of the case. It's like,
right, they murder someone and they didn't do anything about it.
That was the real story. The film is they didn't quite kill him, but yeah, nearly, pretty much.
Okay.
So it was slightly modified for the story. But yeah, what interests you about these kind of roles? I mean, obviously it's a critique of that kind of class. Like, I was laughing out loud at the scene of like, oh, you're the cousin of this guy, and like, oh, your ex-girlfriend is my cousin. And I've witnessed conversations like that, and it always just makes me laugh.
Yeah, no, it's...
And what's nice about this film is it's like a satire. It really plays with that. And then suddenly La Familia is kind of turning in on itself, turning against Vicente. These people who really, in another case, would support him. So,
right.
So what's interesting to you about that? And
I think it's a really funny environment. Like, you know, it's a really shallow kind of subject when you're relating to one another. Like, it's... I'm just amazed that it's kind of like the only subject you would have with someone you don't know, you know, when you meet someone at a party, you know, like you can't talk about other stuff that it's not related to that. So I just find it very interesting that it's portrayed in this movie, because I haven't seen it so much in like cinema in Chilean cinema, like, you know, they haven't like kind of like provoked that class at all. They haven't, you know, it's like really...
Yeah,
they have been really taboo about it. Like, they're really afraid to talk about subjects that aren't related to, you know, powerful people, because, you know, they're going to be, like, I don't know, condemned in some way. Like, they're going to be reduced, you know, like, just scared.
And it's quite a comic role. I mean, I don't think many people will watch this film thinking of it as, like, comic, but it's, you know, like I was saying, it's a satire, and I thought you dealt with that comic side really well. Like, it is really funny every time he comes down and he asks the maid, you know, if there's any fruit and stuff. He's just like a big kid, this character, and this scenario throws him into a kind of adulthood that he can't really manage.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's really interesting. Like, he's still a child. Yeah, the movie doesn't explain very well his age. I would say, like, you know,
vas a comer con la mamá.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, just like, how old is this guy? I mean,
I think like 20 or something. Like, you know, it kind of like portrays a range between 18 and 24, the period you're studying, and like people are doing that with their lives, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. It's like he doesn't have so much life to himself. Like, he just doesn't have goals to anything that it's related to his own family, or like, you know, he's like in a really comfy place, and that's what comfort makes you do.
Passive.
Passive, just like, I'm, you know, just gonna...
Like a child.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing this way, because why would I try another one?
Do you act on stage?
No. I mean, I haven't. I would love to. Because, like, you know, cinema, like, kind of, like, does that to you. Like, the less you give, the better you are. So, you know, I just want to try the other side. But I have to, like, really be engaged with the piece, I think. Like, because it's so repetitive that I wouldn't be...
Yeah, you're running like, a play for...
Exactly. I wouldn't like to feel that I'm, you know, just kind of, like, insisting and, like, fighting. Like, you know, I would like to enjoy it and, like, learn from it.
Do you know the actress Aileen Salas?
Aileen Salas?
Yeah. No. She's an Argentine actress. I spoke with her last week, and she was saying that she much prefers screen, just because you kind of do all this work internally, and when you're on stage, it's really external. You're like giving.
Yeah.
I think that feels good as an actor, to give like that and receive back. Whereas in film, you know, you don't get any feedback on your performance. You're literally there.
Yeah.
You're the last person everyone thinks about. You're kind of like as equal a machine as everyone else in a strange way. How did you kind of find in this role? I mean, it's super internal. There's like a 10 scenes of you driving your car around the city, kind of thinking about stuff. I love that about the film. I love that it has these moments.
Right.
I mean, where were you most challenged outside of these kind of like, okay, now we're going to drive the car, now we're going to do this? I mean, which scenes did you enjoy the most?
Like improvisation. I just love to improvise, because...
Oh, cool. You know, yeah. Which scenes in particular were improvised?
There are a lot. Like, the bed one I don't like. I don't like it so much.
Which one?
The one I'm saying, like, I'm laying with the girl after I had sex with her.
Yeah,
she's like,
talking about...
It's hard to watch. I don't know. You know, there are some scenes that you're like, you know, you're kind of like... You know the tension you're portraying in some way. But... what other scenes? Like the one with El Fiscal, you know, the guy that it's in kind of interviewing me and asking me all these questions. I'm trying to remember, you know, like,
really,
I'm trying
really nice
to
scene.
Like really get focused on what I what I remember, but at the same time I don't remember, and I lied, and it's really subtle. Like, I had to make gestures that, you know, I said something about what happened, but it was a lie actually. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So that was like really subtle. It was all on my face. I didn't have to move because I was like focused on what I have to say in, you know, in this seat in front of the guy. So I think that one was really interesting, but there were a lot that were like beautiful. And
yeah, that first scene in the police station and then later the one in the actual court, I really enjoyed. I was wondering whether they were kind of slightly improvised or not.
In the which one? The
final,
one,
and then your final court scene, final like deposition.
Oh, right. It was, yeah, I mean, it was like an outline, you know, like all the script was kind of like a draft.
Yeah.
You know, it had an outline. I mean, there were some written words, but you know,
did it read like a standard script and then was played with it, or was it quite loose when you came to filming?
It was loose. Like, there were scenes that Alejandro would be like, just improvise on the words, you know, try to get a glimpse of what I want, and like, it would depend, like, whatever was related to, like, legal stuff, that was pretty loyal to the screenplay.
Sure.
Because they want to portray that, like, really...
The real case.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, like, be sure that the laws and all the things, the legal stuff they talk about, it's true. But otherwise, like, other than that, like, whenever, you know, I would meet people at parties or, like, whatever, then it would be much more my suggestion than Alejandro, because, you know, he's just older than me.
Sure.
So he was mature enough to know that.
Well, I think that subtlety really comes across. I loved your character and loved how you played it, and I'm really excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, and thank you so much.
Not at all. Fourth feature.
Yep.
Not your first time at the Berlinale, or your first?
It's the first time. I was here with a short film in 2007, so
yeah.
This is the first time that I'm
yes.
here with a feature. Yeah.
So you just got back from Sundance. What was that like?
Yeah, it was nice. You know, Sundance is a film festival that is primarily focused on American films. So, but I think over the years, the international films have been gathering more and more recognition. And this year in particular, it was a very good year for international films. In Sundance, I think there were the one that I saw that were really good. So I think that's a testament to what the festival is trying to do in opening new roads for world filmmakers too. And yeah, so in that sense, it was a very rewarding experience. I mean, to be back there and to meeting the people. And so it's
well,
really nice.
Thank God they're beginning to open up, because the first thing you really notice at the Berlinale is this is an international film festival.
Yeah, exactly.
And you look at Sundance and South by Southwest, and you look at the films programmed, and it's insane. I mean, some of those festivals have like one international film, and it's from Canada.
Yeah,
and it's a co-production.
No, this year there was a lot of good films, and the years before also. I mean, and they're getting, you know, recognition, and there's a lot of interest from the people in the U.S. industry, film industry, to look for talent also in that area. So it's a good it's a good way to get to them. To the American film market without stopping being what you do, which is films in your own country.
This was a U.S. co-production with France, correct?
Yeah, it is a U.S. co-production in the sense that we did the sound in the U.S., so yeah, but with Chilean crew, and, you know, basically it was something that we did with the U.S., but not really kind of U.S. money or, you know, big involvement in that, just, you know, beyond that.
So, impunity. This is a massive theme in South American cinema. I always apologize when I use the phrase South American cinema, because I think it's not very... It's like a really bad title for filmmaking. So I'm going to say Argentine, Chilean filmmaking. La Mujer Sin Cabeza.
Oh, yeah.
And now Nunca Vas a Estar Solo, which just showed at the Berlinale as well. It's a film by first-time director.
Uh-huh.
Even Relatos Salvajes has a scene about this. Impunity and how wealthy, and actually both La Mujer Sin Cabeza and Relatos Salvajes are about young people who accidentally, actually not about young people, but about rich people who accidentally hit someone. Did they, didn't they, can't remember, they were drunk, they were tired, whatever, and they get away with it. So this is really interesting for me. I lived in Argentina for a year and was very much surrounded by this class. I was talking to your amazing young actor Agustin about his experience growing up in that society. You really, would you call this film a satire of that?
No, not really. I mean, it's as long as you can call real life a satire, I will call it that. For me, it's for me, it's a reflection of what, in my belief of human nature, in my belief of what I think people react in certain situations, is for me, it's whatever happens, it's reality. It's not. I think we tend to think, we try to think, and we want to think that we are much more socially conscious and much more guilt-driven or much more responsible than what we are. You bring the case of La Mujer Sin Cabeza that I have, but you know, that completely slipped my mind. It's the first time that I remember that film, actually. And yeah, it's true. It's this woman, you don't know if she hits the dog or the man, which I think at some point you will know, especially if you're driving, no matter how crazy you are, you will look at the rear view mirror and then you will know. So it's a kind of big plot problem that I always have with that film that otherwise I love. Because I love the moral, you know, of the story, but I think it's not a very, in accordance to me, it's not a very realistic moral in terms starting from the character. I think it's a really good moral starting point for a film.
Sure.
But not for my film, because I think it's not that I'm more... I don't consider myself a cynical guy. I consider myself a realistic guy.
I consider myself very cynical.
I am, but in terms of out of realism, not out of out of disbelief in humankind. I think we are what we are, and in those situations, I think we will behave like that. I mean, for me, the kid, he never committed a crime, according to, you know, so he will have, like, no real concern of something happening, because he has this very naive belief on truth that I think is very kind of, you know, yeah, proper of a kid. And then he grows up understanding that that belief is not enough, you know, that the truth is not enough. So,
well, he's a kid, and this experience is a way of kind of pushing him into an adult world that then he isn't really involved in, because even his parents...
And he doesn't care, and I think he lives from moment to moment, and the movie takes that very clearly, you know, like the movie... Why should I care as a filmmaker, you know, if I portray in a moment where the kid is only thinking about fucking this girl, you know, like he's only thinking about having sex. That's his main preoccupation at some moment in the film.
Sure.
So why would he be, you know, worried about, you know, the family of the victim or stuff like that? I don't think he will be. It would be a different character, of course. And I can have a kid who is much, much more socially conscious and stuff like that. But that wasn't the kid that I wanted to portray in my film. I wanted to portray somebody who's living really in the moment and reacting accordingly.
Agustin said that you told him off once for moving his eyebrows, which I thought was great, because this character is really internal. It's kind of, he comes across on the outside as kind of this give-a-shit teenager. You can see there's something going on. I thought your direction of him was excellent. What was it like working with Agustin? How do you find him?
No, it was really good. I mean the producer introduced him to me, you know, saying that, you know, this kid is gonna, he might be a great, you know, character for the film, because he comes from the same class, he studied the same schools that we're talking about, so he had the right accent, he knew those circles, he had some friends, and he had a, you know, what I really had to, and also, like, physically, he's really interesting, because he looks, on the profile, he looks like a 25, 26-year-old guy, you know, very handsome, and then you, from if you look at up from him a little bit from
baby
above
face,
you see like he looks like a small kid,
yeah
so he has this ambivalence about the character, that sometimes he's like a fragile kid and then he's like this guy, you know, like very secure of himself, and then he's really insecure, and you know, so this thing and basically I let him play and you know, be the character more than creating something. You know, I love to work with actors, because I give them a lot of freedom. If I see something that I don't like, I step up and correct it, but I try not to influence them too much. Explain good the character, and then I let them be.
Let them run.
Yeah.
So, my final question. I couldn't help, this is a really random influence. I couldn't help but connect your film with the beach, that 90s film.
Which one? I haven't seen that one.
The beach. Tilda Swinton's in it. They're in Thailand. They're staying on this remote island.
Who directed that?
Oh, God, what's he called? Oh, this English guy, Danny Boyle.
You haven't seen that one.
Okay. Well, I maybe also the way...
Because of the beach.
But yeah, well, that too. But it's more that kind of feeling of like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. But it's this, like, starts off in a very fun pop culture way. Yeah. There's like, so much music in the first half, and then it really tails off and kind of gets more sinister. Yeah. You really built up that initial like feeling of stress and nervousness. This felt to me really influenced by like 90s filmmaking. I couldn't stop thinking it the whole film. Is this me just kind of from my own understanding of film reading too much, or were the 90s a big part of it?
No, I don't know where the I don't know in terms of influences what I. You know, I made four films already, and in each one has its own form, let's say, but not informed by some personal, you know, kind of taste, because I like many films in different ways and for different reasons. Just wanted to go along with whatever was going on. I wanted to be floating at the beginning, following the characters, having beautiful light, you know, like sunny settings. I wanted to be a very bright film at the beginning. Mm. And so, yeah, probably was, yeah, maybe. Maybe the music, maybe, I don't know.
I think that's
I don't know how, but, you know, I used music from the early 2000s, you know, probably 2004, 2005 for some of the scenes. Now, then the rest of the music is like really modern. Mm. And then probably, I don't know. But no, it wasn't a conscious thing.
My second final question before I get told off. Is this going to cause a lot of trouble in Chile, or is this going to be received with open arms?
I hope so. I hope it's going to create a lot of controversy both ways. You know, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, yeah, this is a good movie against the power, and a lot of people are going to say, you know, this is so condescending with the powerful people. So that's precisely what I wanted to do. I didn't want to make a politically correct film. I hate that. You know, when you show a film to people that think the same and agree with things that we can all agree, you know, like liberty, freedom, you know, human rights, rights of women, rights of minorities, you know, like gay rights, and you show that to that kind of politically correct people and they all agree that they like the film, I think for me it's something that is not really working. You know, I like to create, you know, kind of move yourself and put you in a difficult situation. What is this film about? What is it saying about Jude? Is it saying something good, bad? It's saying something, you know, I know it's saying something that with something's wrong with society, but what does it say about the kid? Why should I care about this kid? You know, a lot of people are going to not feel drawn on into the film because they're not going to relate to kids doing that, or they're going to think, you know, what is going on. But a lot of people will, I think, and that's what I'm interested in, not making a consensus film, a safe film, to take risk with the film itself. So,
well, good on you. It's definitely going to do that, and yeah. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thanks so okay, much. Thank you so much.
So coming up, we're going to do a Berlinale review. Once the whole festival is complete, we're going to talk about the award ceremonies, we're going to talk about the scandals, the gossip, all the exciting nonsense that's been going on. And then we're going to look towards the future of filmmaking. We're going to talk about the future of festivals in general. Do they still have a point? I think the Berlinale has proved really strongly that they do. In some cases, if they follow a certain set of rules. But we'll bring someone way more intelligent and exciting than me to talk about that. And we're probably also going to talk about production changes. I just saw Chirac yesterday, Spike Lee's new film, and it was funded by Amazon. And he said that Amazon was the only film production company who would give this film funding, which is insane considering it's a film about... It's a film that's deeply concerned with what's going on in Chicago, nicknamed Chirac, because more people have died there than in Iraq. It was a knockout film, and the ambassador in Germany, the American ambassador, actually came to the screening, which is really funny when you see the film. It's a pop culture icon. It's going to stay with us forever. It was somewhere between TV and film and loved every minute. Thanks for listening.